Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 330. I was just looking at because there's three of us, so that's perfect. Oh, although it'd be better if it was 333, so but we'll see what happens in 3 weeks. But small group today, everybody else is busy with stuff. So that's okay. The dedicated.
I have nothing better to do.
I'm here anyway. And Pat's just dedicated to entertaining our listeners.
I am.
There you go.
Yes. Very much so.
Good answer. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. That's why I'm here. Joining me tonight are
Dave.
Pat.
And Spencer was tired from work, and Josh has been dealing with computer nightmares at work and is taking a night off. So, Josh won't be here next week either.
He'll be in D3.
So,
Spencer, I'd be tired of working too.
Yeah.
I had to work there.
I had something really cool for him today, so I feel bad, but that's okay. It'll be waiting for him. New Nightwing bust. He's a big fan of those. He's a big Nightwing guy.
So yeah, we know.
I ordered him one. I figured his store wouldn't. San Diego starts this week, so things are going to be crazy this week. The one bit of news I saw was that Marvel and IDW have joined together, where IDW is going to be doing their kids' comics.
But they already do that for all the Disney stuff.
They do the Disney stuff and they do the Star Wars stuff, but now they're going to be doing it for Spider-Man and things like that. IDW is taking that over.
So, like, what? The old Marvel Adventures
right.
type stuff.
That stuff,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. And from my understanding now, I don't read them, but some stores have said Marvel's not doing a very good job with it anyway, so fine. But it's just kind of funny where DC has kind of been expanding everything and doing their Zoom and Ink and all this stuff, and they seem to have a handle on the young adult stuff. Marvel's just kind of saying, you do this, we don't want to do it. So...
You also got to look at it from the perspective of if you're Big Brother Disney, you're saying we can get the licensing fee for this, and it really doesn't cost us anything.
Right.
We already know they have a problem with writers and talent, so why not take the talent you have and put them on books that are going to generate movie ideas? I don't think we're going to get a movie out of Marvel Adventures.
Right.
And
no.
I
hear
for a
you.
Long time,
yeah.
Marvel publishing is nothing more than an R&D lab for Marvel Studios
right.
at this point.
Right. But I'd love to see them because the kids section, especially now that I've moved it and opened it up a little, it's doing very, very well.
Yeah.
And it's like I can't judge it based on sales. I'm not really monitoring that close, but I do judge it based on reorders and how much stuff I'm having to order back in. And there's always a lot of the kids stuff. So
it's sad if all they care about is the movies, because I'd like to see them do more to cultivate
yeah.
young comics fans, like
yeah.
Bring back Star Comics or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe they'll do that just through IDW.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if the Fox deal goes through, we'll see more of an emphasis on some of that stuff, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll want to do more Fantastic Four stuff if they get a bigger crowd.
Right, right. Yeah. And it, like... I like what DC does, but I think their kid stuff really, you know, hopefully this Zoom and Ink does more, but I'd love to see, like, you know, Batman for an 8-year-old, because I get that a lot. Little kid comes in, he wants a Batman book. Well, he can't be
yeah.
reading. No, and so I'm kind of, you know, it was nice when we had The Brave and the Bold and even Little
yeah.
Gotham and things like that, but I understand yeah. they didn't sell well enough for them.
Well, I got to imagine
so
the
it's,
threshold for that has to be much lower than
right.
it is.
That's what you'd hope, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
Titans.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And the Tiny Titans does very well.
I feel like the Scooby Doo team up book.
Those do really well, too.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it has Batman in it.
Sometimes, yeah. But
Batman
it's just.
Batman was on a TV show, so.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. So.
Globetrotters, Genie.
I haven't really paid a ton of attention to it. There may have been some announcements today. I didn't see anything big. One other big thing this came through today is that DC is offering returnability on Batman 50 and Catwoman 1, which makes me very happy as a board member of Comics Pro, because we really kind of hammered on them pretty good.
A member of the board, not a board member of Comics Pro.
Right, a member
like
of the board
just...
of directors, yes.
Well,
Yes. No. So that makes me happy that, because we've contacted them. I didn't, but I was in discussions of what to put in the email and things like that. And then
it's probably the president's job to contact.
Right. Exactly. But I was involved. And it's just nice. And then, you know, lots of people, we asked lots of people to contact them. You know, it helps if you email them too, because if it's just us saying it, you know, the problem is a lot of times like, oh, we're not hearing any problems. We're not hearing, you know, so they heard stuff. And so they offered returnability,
well,
which is great.
I don't think that they didn't hear that problem well before you guys ever
that, right. No, but a lot of times they don't, and I can't blame them. You don't listen to chatter on internet boards because
no,
that's not,
that.
You know, that you can't. But when you're getting direct email saying, hey, it worked. And, you know, in reality, it's not a case of there's going to be a lot of returnability. I might send back some Catwomans because I'm a little heavy on Catwoman. But
Batman will sell no matter.
Yeah, I'm probably sold through my Batman, so I'm not worried about that. But it was more just a good faith thing. You guys kind of, You misled it. You know, you knew there wasn't a wedding, yet you kept pitching it as a wedding. And their defense of, well, you knew they weren't going to get married. Just, okay, but that was your whole sales pitch.
Not
so,
because really, you could have just as easily had them get married and then in this new crisis.
Yeah,
undo it.
Yeah, or have it be, you know, she was filled with the Joker toxin and didn't mean it, or she snaps on the wedding night. You know, there were a lot of ways to play that.
She had the Joker toxin at the end of
49. Right, and then, yeah, and then it just, nothing happened. So, but whatever. DC's made good. I'm happy with what they've done. That made me happy that they kind of realized the situation.
As long as you're happy, Colin.
No, that's not what I mean. But so that was big news in the mailer today. I don't remember anything else offhand. News-wise, previews orders are due next week, so please crack open your previews and see if there's anything you want in there. I still need to. I've read through the Marvel and the DC sections. I think most of the DC section, but I need to still hit the bulk main section of it. Sorry, just odd guys walking down from the crossroads and then walking in our parking lot. So. What's up? What are you doing, Tim? Are you leaving?
See you later, Sam.
Tim's leaving us. That's about it. But as far as news, we're going to have a ton of news next week because I'm sure there's going to be lots of announcements.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, right now, to be honest, DC's doing well and Marvel's doing well. The Marvel Fresh Start has been selling very, very well. So I have really no complaints out of that. Obviously, they're going to announce X-Men Black because they already did the promo image.
Because why announce something when you can pre-announce it?
Yeah, exactly. And it was confused because it was funny. I just shared the picture. And then I had people going, oh, is this out? I'm like, no, I don't even know what it is yet. So we'll find out.
What's the deal with, like, all these X-Men colors?
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
blue
know.
And gold, like,
blue
yeah.
and gold makes sense. Red because of Jean's red hair. Black because it's the villains. I know Magneto's on the cover, so
is Magneto a villain again?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It's been so long since
or maybe it's
X-Men.
Black Ops, maybe they're making that X-Force.
Yeah, that could be.
You know, I still remember when they did X-Force, the Remender run, and I was just I love the X-Force before it. I love the Yost, Kyle Yost, and I forget the other writer. I thought that was a fantastic series. That went through Necrotia and stuff like that. It had a lot of, like, the Clayton Crane art in it.
Okay.
I love that. So when they announced Uncanny X-Force, I'm like, why? This was so good. And then Uncanny X-Force was just fantastic. So, yeah, if they'd want to do another X-Force book and make it X-Men Black, I'm okay with that if they do it as well as both of those series were. So we'll see. We'll learn more this week. Yeehaw.
I saw news that was interesting to me. I always have... have the Mark Russell update.
What'd the Pope do now? Okay, sorry. Lone Ranger.
Mark Russell's writing a Lone Ranger series for Dynamite.
No,
oh, okay.
Dynamite.
For Dynamite, and I inadvertently did some reporting.
He says he's done with Looney Tunes.
I wrote
yeah.
to him and said,
I saw your tweets.
I want him to, thank you for liking it, Colin, but... Yeah, I told him, you know, hopefully he could do some more Hanna-Barbera in the future.
Yeah. He said he's doing a Green Lantern something.
Yeah, they announced four new crossovers.
Okay.
But he wrote back and said he's doing a of the ones he's doing a Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound crossover. It's with,
of course, yeah. It's but with, you know what? 5 years ago, we would have gone.
It's with Jon Stewart in the 1970s.
Yeah, that's just not the pairing. Hong Kong Fury and Black Lightning made sense. Suicide Squad and the Banana Splits. As odd as it was, actually made sense. I don't see Jon Stewart and Huckleberry Hound hanging out. And if I don't get a Batman El Kabong, I'm going to be pissed.
There's also,
that's what I want.
There's also Nightwing, Magilla Gorilla.
That's another odd pairing.
Okay.
And I can't remember. There's two more. I can't remember what they were. I think there might be a Superman one. But I can't
Teen Titans Adamant.
Someone said, I want The Question and Inch High Private Eye.
Okay. Yeah.
Would be awesome. DC, hope somebody's listening. Listening to this.
Or Batman and Robin and Augie Doggie and Doggy Daddy.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Because that last round, those were all great.
Well, that's not all I got for news. Yep. Any, you have anything, Pat?
You know, the Batwoman series, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
yeah, getting a
being
TV
developed.
Show.
That's going to be the crossover between...
No, she's going to get her own series
after the crossover, right.
But, I think in order to make Batwoman work, you have to tackle on the Batman mythos. So, it doesn't work in Arrow's world, but it could work in Supergirl's world, because if it was Superman, you could have a Batman. If there was a Batman in Arrow's universe, we'd know about it. So having a Batwoman doesn't really work. Because Batwoman would never have come first.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So questions. I asked for questions because I knew we'd be low staff tonight. We got lots and lots of questions. So Nick has asked three questions.
Oh, wow.
What series do you want Donnie Cates to take over after Venom? Hopefully a long time from now. I kind of like what Donny Cates is doing right now. At least my impression of what he's doing is he's doing books that he wants to do.
Redneck is awesome.
Right. But like he did Thanos, and he's still doing Thanos. He did Venom, or he's doing Venom. He did Doctor Strange. He's definitely better on the quirky books. I don't know if I'd want to see him on Avengers or Spider-Man. I don't know, honestly. Because, I mean, everything's just starting now, so I don't want to see him take over some. Maybe his run on Cap could be interesting, just because I definitely see him approaching it from a different place than anybody else would.
If he flipped to DC, maybe a Justice League Dark book.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him doing something like that. Actually, you know what? Blade.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That kind of book. That kind of... Where it, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't need to tie in
with
anything else, and he can write his own story. No, I definitely... Yep, yeah, perfect. I was trying to think of a character we haven't seen in a while, but I didn't come up with Blade.
That's where I'd go with it.
That works. Okay, next question two. What's a good Sentry comic to read to get more context for Lemire's current run? Just the Sentry trade. That original trade was fantastic. That original story, I think it was Paul Jenkins... I don't remember who did the art. It was a main series, and then there were a couple one-shots. Like, there was an X-Men one and stuff. I remember just being completely blown away by that book.
Did Jay Lee do that?
I want to say Jay Lee, but I know it was Jenkins and Lee on Inhumans. That's why I was worried. Okay. I know he may have done, like, one of the one-shots. I don't know if he did the main book. He may have. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't remember either.
That Sentry, Find That Trade, that collected that first run, I thought that was fantastic. So, find that, Nick. And what future MCU movie would Taskmaster make the most sense to appear in? I'd say a Cap movie. Yeah. A Cap or a Winter Soldier movie.
If you make Bucky Winter Soldier.
Right.
Or after the Disney-Fox merger, a Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he looks ridiculous enough he would work in a Deadpool
movie. Right,
right. Because that's the other thing you have to think about. A costume that was designed for comics may not translate to the screen, but if you can make the movie ridiculous, you can make something like that work.
Okay, and I apologize, Mr. Ludwig. It's Jay Ludwig, and I'm pretty sure it's Justin. But I apologize if I'm wrong. Let me know. Did you go to many Comic-Cons? And by Comic-Con, I mean a con of comics and not a pop culture con. For me, I did. I used to go to a lot. Since I opened the store, not so much, just because it's way too involved to set up. And I'm not really going and shopping anymore. So I used to go to the Pittsburgh Comic-Con every year. But again, it was more shopping. And that was a good show long ago, when it was at the convention center. But no, I haven't been to a real one. Well, I mean, I was at San Diego in 2015, but I don't even know if that's a Comic-Con anymore. I didn't go anywhere near the comic booths because everything else was...
I thought you did.
Mm-mm. No, I was at all the other, the publisher booths and all that stuff. I didn't go to the vendors. The comic vendors. Because, I wasn't there to shop for anything. I wasn't looking for books.
No.
So I don't really do much anymore. Todd's show wasn't bad. The Three Rivers Con, for what it was. I mean, it had no aspirations of being anything big. Or involved, but it was what it was. It was what it set out to be.
Since it'll be the only one in
the mall. It'll be the entire mall. Every dealer will have his own storefront. So I don't go to. How about you guys?
I've been to Wizard World in Chicago.
Oh yeah, I used to go to that a lot. Yes.
I haven't been there for like 10 years, but I went a handful of times.
Yeah, that was.
I told the story before where I talked to Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
There.
I said, why don't you do a zombie book? And he went...
I know.
So that was all you did?
I haven't seen any checks from that either.
I'm sorry.
No, but this was like in... Invincible was in like its... I was in the Invincible, and it was in its like teens or 20s. And he was just sitting at his table all by himself. It was unbelievable. And I walked over, and he gave... I told him I was looking for some copies, and... He just gave them to me for free.
Okay.
Four or five and signed them all.
Nice.
For me. And, I mean, ten years later.
Right.
You know,
now he's...
How his life has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's sitting by himself anymore.
I know.
We will talk about Mr. Kirkman a little bit later when we talk about
books. Yeah, it was just crazy thinking about that.
I've actually never been.
What? Wow.
Well, I... got back into comics later, and I kind of have a thing with crowds, so...
Then that's not the place for you.
Yeah.
Fair enough. He also asks, is it just me, or does Marvel not have faith in kids being speculators and variant cover collectors, and that's why they are letting IDW print their kids' comics? We kind of went over a little bit. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think they don't see the value or the return on the money spend to... to make them. I did hear some conversation, it was probably online, talking about how the creators don't like to do them because they don't have much control. It's very, controlled editorial about what the stories are. They don't have, there's just not the freedom or the recognition and the money. Since they don't sell a lot, they don't get paid a lot for doing them.
Well, that's the other thing I'm wondering, because if you do kids' comics, so, like anything else, you want to advertise focused on who the audience is, and if I'm going to pay Marvel to advertise my product, I don't want to do it in the book that's selling 2,000 copies.
Right.
I'm going to do it in the book that's selling 50,000 copies. And... you're not going to have the same audience for Spider-Man as you will for a Marvel adventure book.
Right. So it's a double-edged sword, but I do think that they do need to... It's maybe a loss leader, but something they should focus on, because I think we need to keep those kids
reading.
Yeah,
you've got to cultivate new customers.
Yep. Okay, Brandon asks, how are Marvel's new number one selling in the shop, and what are my favorites? They are selling very, very well. Don't be misled by if you see I have like a lot of Spider-Man number one on the shelf or a lot of Iron Man. That's because I jumped through some hoops to get variants. But overall, they're selling really well. The surprises are like Immortal Hulk. I can't believe I'm selling out at almost triple what Hulk used to sell at.
Really?
Stuff. Even Totally Awesome Hulk. Yes, Pat.
But that was Totally Awesome.
I know, it was, but it didn't sell Totally Awesome. Black Panther isn't doing great, but it is. I don't even understand Logan's run Black Panther. Cap did very well. Let's see what else is doing well. X-Men are just, they're both are ending, so we'll see what's coming out of there. But so far the number ones, I've been very pleasantly surprised that there hasn't been a stinker yet. So we'll see what's going on with that. What news are you hoping to hear coming out of San Diego? Nothing I'm hoping to hear. I'm always pleasantly surprised. They normally surprise me. I think it was a couple years ago when they announced.
They follow through with what they announced.
Right. There's always a lot of announcements that never come to fruition. Like, how long did it take for Miracle Man to anything come from that after Marvel announced it? And still nothing came of it. Yeah. It was just all reprints.
They announced the Blade,
That was at the San Diego I was at. That one just kind of died on the vine. But I remember the San Diego when they announced Sandman Overture, and won San Diego. It's like, wait, more game in Sandman? That was unbelievable. I don't know what to expect. It's always surprising. It's always the stuff.
Yeah. And it's something you never thought of.
Yeah.
You can't live without.
Let me see if there were any other questions.
The Return of Afterlife with RG.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, we're never going to do that.
No more questions, just some comments on the questions.
Issue 10, finally.
Someday, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got for news and stuff like that. At the store Saturday, we're going to be doing the grand reopening celebration. It's just going to be like a big sale, and I'm going to pull the grill up. We're going to do hot dogs and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Just as a thank you for guys for putting up with the store being in shambles for a while. It's not quite put back together the way I want, but that's okay. It's just me.
It looks pretty damn good.
It does, but it's on me for cleaning up in the back, getting the boxes out of the way and stuff like that. That's just all the stuff that we had to clear off the shelves that we moved or got rid of just kind of went in boxes, and it's just one of those, I have to get to it, but there's always something more important in the way. So that's cool. We'll get to it. But yeah, so big, please come down if you can. You know, like I said, it's a big thank you from me to you for sticking with me. Previews orders due next week. Book club is next Friday. We're doing Kingdom Come.
All right.
So we need to get that read. Yeah, I'm thinking going, I got to get that read for next week. I got to get the order started for next week. Good thing I don't have anything.
You wanted to read Kingdom Come. That's why we picked that
book. I know. I don't think I could fudge my way through it because I remember the last time I read it, I completely forgot who the bad guy was, and it was a total, I read it first in issues when it came out, and then I reread it. So it had been a good number of years.
I think it's been about 6-7 years since I read it.
Yeah, so we need to reread it. But, I mean, that's a Saturday night sit down and
plow through that.
I mean, it was 48-page issues. It wasn't huge. It's not like you're reading a tome.
It's not Watchmen.
No. I never finished that on the reread. I mean, I've read it so many times. But so I think that's all I got as far as stuff going on here. So, Pat!
Yeah?
What'd you read?
I read books, Tom.
Awesome. I read a lot of books. Well, not a lot. I read 7 from last week and 2 from the week before.
Oh, wow. Let's see if we read any of the same ones. Flash 50.
I did read that.
The end of the Flash War. So we finally found out which Flash is fastest. It's Wally West.
Yes. But then they killed him off at the end, so that was a surprise. No, they did.
No, they did worse. They brought back Bart. And apparently they broke the Speed Force's connection time travel, so they can never time travel again.
Ever again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is a problem because Commander Cole is trapped in our time.
Right.
And Wally's kids are still nowhere to be found. So, yeah. But I enjoyed it. It was a good Flash story. I kind of wish we would have got, like, Max Mercury back or
right,
something like
right.
that. Because when it was Bart Allen, I was like, damn it.
A lot of people are excited, though.
Give me somebody cool. Detective Comics. Read that.
I haven't read any of Detective, to be honest. I think I read the very first issue.
Oh, wow.
Well, I read the first issue, and then we went on vacation. So I was off for that week's book. So it was Action and Detective. I was just off sync from the beginning and never got caught up.
Okay. So this continues the Outsider story where Batman has recruited
Black Lightning.
To train and lead the... essentially to take over the role that Batwoman had since she left. And Cassie is going to be a big focus of this. But what was cool was at the end, he explained how, like, you know, Barbara's very close to Cassie. She's going to challenge you. You know, just kind of let them know this is going to be easy. There's a lot of competing voices trying to lead this team, so you got to be strong. But, it was a decent issue. I totally forgot what happened in the issue before when he actually brought Black Lightning in, so I kind of came into it like, huh? And even though it was only 2 weeks, I was like, okay, I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I feel that way. Justice League, I felt that way with number 3.
Okay.
I was just like, wait, huh? Why is who's Hawkwoman in? I don't understand. So,
Star Wars Thrawn. That, Dave?
I didn't get to that one, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's you know, the end of the story, and Thrawn becomes a Grand Admiral.
Okay.
He meets Darth Vader for the first time, and we find out, you know, how he positioned himself correctly to, even though he doesn't have a whole lot of political savvy, to rise in the ranks. And the other thing that kind of comes out of all this is that he wasn't found by the Empire. He set himself up to be found by the Empire, and really he's working for the Kryss is his race, and he's working for them to kind of protect them. So if the Empire helps them or doesn't oppose them, then everything's fine. But if at any point, like, they find out about the Death Star, you know, if it poses any threat, he's going to take it out. So, but it sets it up in a good place and kind of goes off to, you know, what we know of him from the books, and I guess he's been in TV shows.
Yeah, I think he's been in the Rebel series. Yeah.
He's one of those legacy characters I really wish would have made it into the new movies, because I really enjoyed him in the books.
Yeah, no, he was. I mentioned it before, but like when Heir to the Empire first came out.
Yeah, I read him when
years
it first
ago.
Came out, yeah.
Yeah, it just really struck me as a great new character back then. It's good that he's, you know, had this longevity here.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
That's it. Dave, what you got?
Some number ones. You probably may have read some of these columns, but Farmhand.
Yes, I read that.
Number one.
That was odd in a very chew way.
Very chew, yeah. But it's by Rob Guillory,
who
he's writing and drawing this.
Yeah.
He drew Chew. But it's about...
And I think it took his art to make it a tree of hands and a tree of ears.
Like,
his art made it palatable.
still, it's really creepy.
It is. It is
cartoony.
Right. That's what made Chew work. His cartoony artwork thing. When a guy eats a body part, he can see how the person was murdered. It wasn't gross in Chew.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's about a farmer who grows body parts.
Yep.
Plug and play body parts for people, and his. His son Ezekiel and his family, his wife and his kids, they come back, you know, to live on his farm for the first time.
Come back to see him for the first time.
Yeah, I think like 7 years, and they go on this. They have it. He has it set up like a theme park. I don't know if anybody's been on the land. That's what it reminded me. The land in Epcot.
Okay.
That ride, but it's like at the beginning.
A little
this,
boat ride.
In this book, yeah, it's like a boat ride, and they go through the. The different plants, you know, growing arms and legs and livers and stuff, and but
faces, yeah, one had it was creepy.
It's really creepy and something.
And people are trying to steal it, yeah.
Something mysterious is going on.
Yes,
the guy was trying to steal something, but it was really good. It was really good.
Yeah,
really
it was
liked it.
Very different.
Yes. I read She Could Fly.
Yes, I read that too.
Number one.
That was something. Now this was, I didn't realize it's written by the writer of Halt and Catch Fire.
Yes.
That was really good, and who has some emotional problems.
Yeah.
Let's say he had a nice little thing at the end.
I read that. That was very interesting. Yeah. Because they really take a serious look at treats mental illness very seriously in this book. And
but yeah, this girl who definitely has problems, and there's this woman flying around the world.
She's been spotted flying, at least over Chicago, and then one day she just like explodes, burns up or something.
And this girl's like fascinated with her, and then all of a sudden she explodes, and this girl like freaks.
She's not what I expected. She's obsessed with her, and she's following her, tracking her movements. And
she's like hearing voices, and one of the voices is the flying woman. Another one is like dark and sinister, and you know, constantly telling her she's no good and she's going to kill all her family and stuff. It was
But it was really interesting.
Yes,
it was good.
This is one of the burger books from Dark Horse.
Yes. Another number one I read, Relay.
Okay.
Number one from Aftershock.
Remember, this was a free comic day book.
Yeah, this is. I'm not sure what to make of it yet, but it's about this, like, it's not Earth, but they're on some planet. It's like a monolith that is inspiring, you know, conformity of ideas among the people on this planet and any other planets they bring into their influence. It's kind of not sure, like it wasn't explained. I think I needed more explanation as to why this monolith is doing this or how it works.
Okay.
But and then there's a main character, he's a kind of a peacekeeper against people who are resenting this, and there's also the subplot of the guy who instituted this monolith on his home planet was named Hank Donaldson, and this was a couple hundred years ago, and he disappeared, and people are trying to find like the home planet of where this all started. And I think it was just probably just me, but I just need a little bit more of how this monolith works.
Okay.
Quickly mention Scooby Apocalypse.
Okay.
27. This is following the death of Fred still, and they're living in the Jonestown, the shopping mall, with a lot of other people. They're starting their.
Is his name community. For Fred?
Yeah, they're just referring to it as Jonestown.
Okay.
just
don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Right. Yeah. Right. In this issue, you see Scrappy Doo coming back into the fold, and he wants some food and shelter, and in exchange, living there, and he'll provide some help to them. Velma finally allows him Velma finally allows Scrappy to hang around as long as he follows the rules, and he'll be a good foil for the rest of the group. He has a very caustic attitude. He's pretty funny, and it's also the first issue of the new penciler is Patrick Olaf, who's doing Rough Riders.
Yeah.
So maybe he's doing. I think Rough Riders is coming back, but hopefully he's just doing this, you know, in between his Rough Riders duties.
I'm a little pissed that they didn't bring Cthulhu in. You brought in H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Why not have a Cthulhu story?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's true. You would think they would have brought him in that.
Teddy Roosevelt would have shot him and then, like, had his head mounted somewhere in the White House. Come on.
That would be a good scene for sure. Last thing I'll mention, Archie 32.
Okay, last issue.
Last issue. I this snuck up on me that it was the last issue of Mark Waid's run until it comes back in number 700 with Nick Spencer writing.
Okay.
But
Archie, that was 100% more nonsense.
But this is the spring dance, and the Blossom Twins' father, Eddie Shears, is holding everyone hostage to try to kidnap Cheryl and Jason because he wants their money. So I won't give anything away of who lives and who dies, but they use Archie to create a distraction. But everybody died. It's all over.
That's a shame.
This was the lead up to Afterlife with Archie.
Exactly. And that's it.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I also had Amazing Spider-Man number one. Another Nick Spencer book, which was good. There were no Nazis in it. It was a solid Spider-Man story. My problem with it was he went to a lot of Spider-Man tropes and the Parker luck and everything. But what happened was basically Peter lost his job. And then he's having to keep an eye on his roommates because his one roommate is Boomerang. And then it turns out that his doctoral thesis or whatever, for whatever big degree he got...
it was written by Doc Ock.
Yes, yeah. Is realized that they put it through this thing, and they realized that it was actually like an analyzer to look at plagiarism, and discover it was written by Otto Octavius, and he plagiarized it, so he lost his degree, and he lost his... Then that was why he lost his job, because he was the science editor at the paper, but because he would no longer had his degree and his position, he then lost his job. And then Aunt May is all disappointed that he would plagiarize this paper and yada, yada, yada. So it's just like, it was depressing reading it. And you don't want to be depressed reading a Spider-Man book. But it was just, everything was, you know, just, it wasn't fun. And it just, I didn't like it. I felt sad after I read it.
Really?
Is he back?
Who?
Like Otto? In like human?
He, form? No, well, he's getting a cloned body. He's back. A clone of Peter Parker.
I saw there's going to be a Superior Octopus series.
Yeah,
possibly, yeah, because a lot of stuff is going to be spinning out of the Spider-Geddon that's coming. Another one I read was Superman, but I'm not going to talk about that because Pat just bought it. But I really enjoyed it. I did not love Man of Steel, but I did enjoy Superman number one. I thought it was a solid start. Eternity Girl number five got really out there. And got it to the point where this is almost going to need to be read as a trade because there's a lot of stuff going on. And it keeps referring stuff that happened that before the book started, which I think was in the backups in Milk Wars, which I'm a little bummed by because I didn't read those, so I'm missing some of the story. But still really enjoying it. Just a really bizarre, bizarre story. And then the last one, I read Captain America 1 and Justice League 3, but I think we've talked about those before. But then the last one I want to talk about was a kind of a real surprise book.
Literally
a surprise. On our invoices was a thing that said retailer thank you. And it was like, okay, and retailer thank you poster. Okay, I don't know what this is, but okay, Taylor. Thank you. Great. Well, it turns out it was a new Robert Kirkman book called Die, Die, Die. And this was his way of thanking retailers for supporting his books, and they sent them to us in our quantities that we had ordered in Oblivion Song, which for me, luckily, was a whole lot. And he wanted to try to do, you know, something surprising, you know, because in this business, the way everything is ordered so early in advance and things, they couldn't do the, you know, Beyonce dropping, you know, an album on people because, you know, with physical product versus, you know, just completely digital. But he wanted to do something kind of cool, so that's how he decided to do it. They just basically sent us these books. We didn't order them. It was a nice surprise. There were 10 different covers. Basically, it was just the word balloons were different. Nothing was in special ratios. There was nothing rare, but just... I didn't have any completists wanting a full set, and I wasn't really worried about that. But just really a neat way to do it. And an interesting book. Chris Bernhamart, who I enjoy very much, that was just a really whacked-out story. What it was about, I don't exactly know. I can't give you a coherent story behind it. It was very enjoyable. There were people running from other people and being attacked, and
noses being cut off,
and
spiked their heads.
Yeah, it was. It's really hard to explain, and I couldn't summarize it. And this might be why they did this, because they couldn't do a good elevator pitch on it. But overall, it was really enjoyable, and I'm very much interested in reading issue 2 to see where the heck this is going. So yeah, if you're interested, I still have copies, so if you want it.
Was there a reaction from the customers? Surprised?
Well, at first you got all the speculators out, you know, looking for it because it was the hot book, which was a little... I mean, I was happy to sell it to them because I got in more than I would have ordered. So I was happy to, you know, sell and, you know, make money on that. But then we also pulled it for all the Oblivion Song people to make sure the people that were Kirkman fans actually got it. Yeah, I think the reaction's been good. We'll see how number 2 does. I don't even think we've ordered number 2, so I don't know. I don't even know how this is working.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't.
This is outside of the norm.
Outside of the normal.
So I don't know
if it's monthly or what.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it. So we'll see. So that's all I read. So we're going to be a short podcast here, but that's okay because.
That means we get home.
I'm a little tired, and we might actually get home in the daylight, which is kind of cool. Where are we at? Oh, 42 minutes. We're going to be under an hour. Craziness.
It's all right.
Craziness. Well, I apologize for you people that use this, you know, for your long, you know, go to sleep, things like that. But we're going to be done wrapping up.
Next week, besides all the new books come out, we'll have all kinds of stuff.
Yep, San Diego stuff to talk about, all sorts of fun stuff. So,
besides, you didn't see Ant-Man.
I didn't see Ant-Man yet, no.
So we can't talk about that.
So,
what's coming out next week, Alan?
Thank you, Pat. Finally, it's here. Decades in the making. Action Comics 1001.
Oh, I would have said after all from Archie.
No.
It just feels like it's decades in the making.
No, I'm sorry. It's not there.
That, you know, if and when that ever does come back out, it can't live up to the hype.
No. Mm-hmm. No. I'm guessing it's kind of abandoned at this point. We also have Amazing Spider-Man number 2. We have Bone Parish number 1. This is interesting. This is Cullen Bunn, and there's this new drug down in New Orleans that's basically made from like the bones of deceased people that people are snorting. And then they start having these really weird visions and things, and it's actually the spirits of these people trying to take over their bodies. So I thought that was interesting. We have Britannia, Lost Eagles of Rome. This is from Valiant, getting back to the Britannia series. New one from Alterna, the $1.50 newsprint ones, is Psycho KO, which looks very much like a Deadpool type of book. DC is doing their Beach Blanket Bad Guys special. Shocker, they said it wouldn't happen, but it is. Doomsday Clock number 6 is next week. Eden number 1, I'm not sure what this is. Oh, no, this is another one from Alterna.
Boundless.
We have Flash 51, so we have the first one following Flash War. We have Harbinger Wars 2, number 3. We have Hunt for Wolverine, Mystery in Madripoor number 3. So that's coming, that's getting moving along. We have Infinity Wars Prime. We had the last of the Infinity Countdown this week. Justice League Dark premieres next week with their number 1. We have The Long Con number 1. This one is basically, it's set at the longest convention in the world. And some big event happens and everybody thinks that it got blown up and everybody died. But it turns out it just got transferred to, like, to another dimension, and these people are just having this convention continuing.
Oh, it's a Cloverfield paradox.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. X, the big surprise X-Men book with Gambit and Rogue. This starts next week. New World number 1. This is one from Image. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it's a new Image one. We also have a ton of San Diego exclusives that are coming in. So, oh, I should have ordered more of that one. Okay. Magic Order number 1, just since I sold out of the regular number 1. All sorts of neat stuff. You'll see on the list. StarCraft Scavengers, I think this is spinning out of the video game, StarCraft. We have Teen Titans 20, which is going to be the first appearance, or the, I guess, first full appearance of Lobo's daughter. Very exciting. Are you excited? Okay. We have Terrifics number 6, so I think that might be wrapping up that first arc, possibly. I'm not sure. Venom number 4, which has been huge. Wakanda Forever X-Men number 1 is next week. X-23 did really well last week. Number 2 is coming out next week. And then the second batch of X-Men Grand Design, Second Genesis. This is starting off with the Giant Size X-Men number 1 redoing these. And then X-O Man of War next week. And that was for Josh, but Josh isn't here. No, he won't. So he won't be getting all these awesome books. So. Just I got a little time. I'm going to do a little editorial. I've been thinking of typing this up. I don't know if everybody knows how the comic shop works, and it always dawns on me I need to do a little refresher of this every once in a while. Just that we get books every week. If you want something, just let me know. I'm happy to hold it for you. I know a lot of people, you know, it's a mystery, not a mystery of how it works, but, you know, I'm happy to hold things for you. Pre-orders are awesome. It's Comic Hub has been great in that regard, with people using it to order books. Always right when I put in the new previews, I get lots of orders because that's what I base my orders on. You know, if I go in and see, oh, I have 3 people ask for this book. I'm not going to order a lot. Like this Mr. and Mrs. X, I had 3 requests for it. Oh, gosh, I ordered 13. You know, I don't, if you guys don't tell me you want it, I don't have a ton of confidence in it. But if all of a sudden I get, you know, 20 orders.
We don't know what it is.
Oh, I hear you. But if all of a sudden I get 20 orders for something, it's like, okay, wow, this has a lot of interest. Like, Immortal Hulk is, I checked it in, I ordered 30 and I have 26 holds for it. It's like, wow. You know, that is really boosted.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Wow. When Totally Totes Awesome was selling 9. So,
that's awesome.
I know, but it's a huge change. Also, the graphic novels, a lot of times I might be, I don't know if I'll get one. Well, gosh, and then somebody orders one. Well, okay, then I'll order one for the shelf. There's some demand for it. So,
yeah.
Most of the ordering is done by gut, but you know, the more info I have is awesome. So I've definitely heard people say, oh, I just assumed you'd have it on the shelf. It's like, I get you. I assumed I would too. Demand exceeded, you know, supply. I didn't foresee that. So use the app. People are enjoying the app. You know, using it to order stuff and
see what's
coming. There, wow, I like that. Yeah, you don't have to send me.
You,
you don't have to send me Facebook messages. No more midnight Facebook messages
that
from Dave.
Says more about me than anything else.
Well, I always enjoyed that because I'd wake up in the morning and there's a message from Dave and Facebook telling me, you know, please respond within so much time or we'll, you know, dock you. It's like I was asleep.
Oh yeah,
we get timed on our responses on Facebook.
Really?
And then the ones I hate is like, you know, will you order this for me? Sure thing, thanks. And then you need to respond to something. I'm like, I don't need to, there's no need to respond to thanks. You're welcome. I, you know, this can go on all day. But, yeah, the Comic Hub app, I think people are really using it, but I'd love to see more people using it. Just for, you know, it's so nice when I the books come in and it tells me exactly who goes what, you know, what goes to who. It's just it's a lot easier all the way around. So that's all. Not a long editorial and no ranting, no anger.
No.
I'm generally fairly happy these days. So that's it. Store's pretty much back together. I got a little bit to do just as far as cleaning up. You'll notice my brown boxes in the back were, it was again, it was just the stuff that was on the shelves we had to get out of the way. So I'm working on those. I think that's about it. Dave!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.